This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less government waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta Director for the Canadian Taxpayers Federation. I'm here with two of my dear friends. Franco, he is holding down the fort in Mordor. He's our federal director in Ottawa. And Gage is our Prairie Director. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Lots to talk about because, of course, I think it's since the new year started, politics is like drinking from a fire hose. It's been crazy. So we're going to go over a few things in the show today. We're going to go over carbon taxes. Yes, they're still here. They're not dead. Tariffs and how that relates to carbon taxes. And at the end of the show, we're going to let Franco talk about his sex toy show in Germany. Sorry, not his. Yours, dear taxpayer.
But we did pay for it.
We did pay for it. You, dear taxpayer, paid for it. So, serious warning to the parents. Don't listen to the end of the show if you got little kids in the room, because Franco's going to describe it. Not kidding. But you're still good for the next 18 minutes or so. Okay, let's kick things off. Who wants to start in on Carney and his hidden carbon tax, which is the worst possible thing he could do? One, he wants to hide it. And two, as anemic and paltry as the rebates are, at least they were cash. But he wants to replace them with green points for like solar scooters or something stupid. Like, who wants to kick this off with Carney?
Yeah, I will. And okay. You know, I was wondering, you know, how on earth could somebody make a carbon tax that is worse and more expensive than Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's? I thought we would never get an answer to that. But here comes Mr. Mark Carney, and he found a way. He may have found a way to make the carbon tax more expensive than Trudeau's. Okay, so folks, we listened to Carney's entire announcement, so you don't have to. And here's what we listened to, okay? So Carney said that he would immediately repeal the consumer carbon tax. Okay, that sounds good until you read the fine print. Okay, because what Carney is proposing is to remove the consumer carbon tax and replace it with carbon taxes on businesses. Okay, he essentially said that he would improve and tighten industrial carbon taxes. Well, I hear that and I hear hike carbon taxes on businesses. Now, here's what Carney and what the government doesn't want you to know about carbon taxes on businesses. A carbon tax on a business is a carbon tax on Canadian consumers, and it'll make life more expensive, right? When you carbon tax a refinery, you make gas more expensive. When you carbon tax utilities, you make home heating more expensive. When you carbon tax fertilizer plants, well, that drives up costs for farmers, and that makes food more expensive. Now, that sounds pretty bad because it is, and it sounds like a carbon tax because, well, it is. But it gets worse. Now, you've probably heard Trudeau and his liberal minister spinners talk about rebates. Well, everyone outside of Ottawa knows that the carbon tax is costing them way more than the rebates. But at least the rebates is some cash back to Canadians. Now, Carney is going to do away with the rebates. And instead of cash back in your pocket, a little bit of cash back in your pocket, he wants to have incentives and rewards. So instead of some cash, you're going to get like a discount code, code Carney, that you plug in every time you go out there and buy a solar powered blender.
Is that your code, Carney? Did you just make that up now?
I'm going to say I did.
Yeah, okay. Just take it. Yeah, this is the worst possible combination of things, because this guy named Aaron O'Toole, who used to lead the opposition parties, the opposition conservatives, he trotted this thing out. And it was awful. And that's where the joke about solar blenders comes from. But in all seriousness, 12 gauge, I'll let you in here in a second. This gets down to Carney's ethos, okay? I just got his book in the mail, and I'm going to force myself to read it this weekend because it is important. If these people are going to be prime minister or deciding what your tax rates are, you got to know how these people think and how they tick. And it's literally, the front page of it is the planet with scaffolding around it. So central planny types get really twitchy when people get cash back in their own pocket. they could use that for all sorts of things. They can use it to pay down their credit card bill. They can put it towards their next heat bill. They can buy beer and popcorn with it. They don't like that kind of freedom that cash brings. So, of course, here comes Big Daddy Government saying, no, 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 you need to save up your green points so that you can pay for a furnace. Quick news flash to Mark Carney, whose most recent gig with the Bank of England, Governor of Bank of England, paid him more than $800,000 per year, plus a $450,000 housing bonus. Newsflash for him. If you're part of the 50% of Canadians that are fighting to afford groceries, you are not on the market for a furnace. This is not going to help you. Gage, I wanted to let you in on this because I know you've been doing a lot of work on this too, really digging into Carney's carbon tax plan.
Yeah, well, Simmer, unfortunately, I don't think you're going to be for a happy read this weekend. I've got his book on my back shelf back there, scribbled with a bunch of angry comments in the margin, talking about exactly what you did. But the thing is, Franco was talking about how this is the most worst carbon tax imaginable, and he's all right about that. But the next step of Carney's carbon tax plan is almost as bad, if not worse. Carney plans to impose what he's calling a carbon adjustment border mechanism. So for regular people who aren't central bankers, that's a carbon tax tariff. So what Carney wants to do is punish other countries who don't have a carbon tax, a really big one there is the United States, by forcing Canadians to pay import taxes on stuff they get from other countries. And just like this industrial carbon tax, the businesses are going to have to pay more, and that means the rest of us are going to have to pay more, right? One of the biggest examples is we're looking at farmers. I'm here in Saskatchewan. If a farmer is stuck paying for fertilizer from across the border, fertilizer plants can have to pay that tax. Farmers are going to have to pay more. That comes down to us. The most confusing example is when we go to cars, right? Sometimes a car components can cross the border a bunch of times before they actually get finished down in Ontario there, assumably going to be hit with Carney's carbon tax tariff every single time. I mean, I don't know if you guys have bought a car recently. The car market isn't exactly cheap, and this will just make that worse. And it's another thorn in Carney's carbon tax plan.
So just to explain this simply, because I'm kind of wandering into a movie theater here like a child. So if I'm wrong, jump in. So essentially what you're saying is that Carney is like, this country doesn't have a carbon tax. Pick one. United States or wherever. Whatever country doesn't have a carbon tax. I disapprove of that. When we import a widget from that country that is bad and doesn't have a carbon tax, I'm going to nail them with one as it crosses the border, thus making the thing more expensive for a Canadian to purchase. Is that how that works?
No, that's exactly right. And it kind of goes with the whole central planning ethos again, right? Carney, if he becomes prime minister, can only central plan Canada. This is the best he can do to try and force other countries to also hurt their economy with the carbon tax. But it takes a step back, right? We've seen what tariffs do to the economy, talking about people getting mad at each other across the border. I don't think the Americans would take too lightly to be hit with a carbon tariff on all of their imports to Canada as well. So
I was talking to Todd, our boss, earlier this week, and he pointed out, I don't know if there's two worse words to put together right now. Carbon tariff. What a brilliant plan. Franco, I thought that Canada was trying to sell carbon taxes to other countries. Isn't this all on the same level playing field now?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. And it's a good point with this carbon tax tariff is that, look, first of all, it's going to make life more expensive. Second of all, like, think of the retaliation that we're going to get from other countries. Okay. Like, about 70% of countries don't have a national carbon tax, including the United States, Russia, India, Brazil. So you have these massive economies. I mean, particularly the United States, which we trade a lot with. And now, like, what kind of retaliation are those other countries going to hit back with against this Carney carbon tax tariff? I mean, it's absolutely a nightmare. But look, like, to really boil what's going on with Carney, it's he says he's going to replace or end the consumer carbon tax, but really he's just relabeling and hiding carbon taxes in different place with higher carbon taxes on businesses and this carbon tax tariff, which will ultimately be paid by both Canadian businesses and Canadian consumers. But another element of this that we have to talk about is think about how many bureaucrats taxpayers are going to have to hire to patrol the border with their calculators, calculating how much carbon is coming across the border from other countries, right? So it's not just a nightmare when it comes to affordability, because Carney's plan will make life more expensive, but it's also a taxpayer nightmare where you're going to have all these bureaucrats trying to figure out, beep, boop, how much carbon went into a good that's being traded across Canada's border. And so here's the thing. Here's what Carney, if he wants to have any shred of credibility on the most important question on affordability, Carney needs to come clean with Canadians on this very simple question. How much will your carbon tax cost us? Okay. And here's what Carney has to understand. Canadians don't want the carbon tax relabeled. Canadians don't want the carbon tax hidden. Canadians don't want carbon taxes on businesses. Canadians don't want the carbon tax wolf in sheep's clothing. Canadians want the carbon tax gone. Sayonara. See you later. Goodbye.
Yeah, it has to be gone. Like, nuke it from orbit, then salt the earth afterwards. This is the point. And I wanted to raise this, and I have a clip, actually, that I want us all to endure. And I promise it isn't that long. It is pretty boring, folks, for listening. But afterwards, we are going to talk about a sex toy show in Germany. So just keep listening, okay? I wanted to raise this because it's super important. Because at the very end of Carney's announcement about the carbon tax in Halifax, he said the quiet part out loud. He said what he thinks the problem is with the carbon tax. And he said that this is a perception problem and that people just don't understand the value of the carbon tax. Why? Because they have been misled with misinformation and lies. Listen to this.
It has become very divisive for Canadians. It's the perceptions of the impact, the negative impacts of the carbon tax on households without fully recognizing the positive impacts of the rebate has made this more of a divisive issue. It's been fed by misinformation and lies, quite frankly, by the leader of the opposition, but okay.
So there you have it, folks. That is right from the horse's mouth. So keep this in mind the next time you hear the mainstream media trying to glide past the issue of the carbon tax, okay? I'm a little bit worried that the narrative is going along the lines of, oh, the carbon tax is dealt with or the carbon tax is over. No, it's not. We're paying it right now, and it's going up again April 1st. This is a cold, hard reality for people. I'll also point out that people are so upset, understandably so, about the threat of tariffs coming from the United States, around 20 or 25%. If you do the math on how much they're going to crank up the carbon tax on diesel, which is the lifeblood of the economy and moves everything we need, that's around a 20% increase. We are hitting ourselves in the face with a tax hike. So this is a major problem, and I really hope that this message gets through to the average Canadian and to the mainstream media. Don't let any of these Liberal Party leadership candidates off the hook by saying, oh, the carbon tax is dealt with. No, it's not. It is a clear and present problem, and it's costing us an arm and a leg. Franco, did we want to get to the actual tariff issue? Do we want to go there right now?
Yeah, I think this is a good way to segue into that, right? Okay. So, I mean, we have this threat of tariffs looming above our head. You know, obviously, President in the U.S., Donald Trump, has talked about a 25% tariff on Canadians. And, you know, the first emotion that I have when I heard that is like, oh, heck no. You know what I mean? Like, let's hit them back. Let's hit them back. So I understand the emotion that people are feeling in Canada and the, you know, the emotive drive to hit back with tariffs. But, you know, let's take a step back for a second and let's think about what Canada actually has to do. And the number one thing that Canada has to do is we have to make Canada strong. And we do that by cutting taxes, cutting red tape, and getting Canada's economy firing on all cylinders, right? And even just think about it. Like, you really want to make the Americans upset? Well, let's outcompete them on the economy. Let's be the best place in the world to do business. We have, like, such abundant natural resources and so much talent within Canada. There is no reason outside of the damaging policies our governments have imposed on us that we aren't the most competitive, most free, most prosperous country in the world. So, you know, before the government even thinks about knee-jerk retaliatory tariffs, we have to make Canada strong. We have to cut taxes. We have to cut red tape. Because look, like, these tariffs, I don't think they would work. I don't think us putting in tariffs will make Donald Trump back down. And I do know that if the government of Canada imposes tariffs, well, that will make life more expensive for Canadians who can't afford it.
Yeah, I was so I was sick last week, so I was mostly unconscious, but I was tuning in and out of news whenever I could. And I had this kind of surreal moment of, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, where you've had family come in from out of town and you're showing them around your town or your city and you're kind of seeing it through their eyes for the first time. It was kind of that experience where I was watching American coverage of the situation up here in Canada and just hearing an outside person say out loud, "We do not have a major east-west pipeline in our own country for our own energy," was bizarre. It was yeah, they're right. That's crazy. We've been living like this now for all these years. And this isn't just, you know, language that we're using here. These are laws. Like Bill C-69 was all but forbidding the construction of most energy projects.
The unconstitutional Bill C-69, I may add. And let me just jump in here, Chris, because, you know, more than 95% of the oil we export goes to the United States. Well, if we could actually build a pipeline here in Canada, then we can reduce our reliance on trade with the U.S. and reduce our reliance on importing oil from Saudi Arabia. Like, sounds so obvious when you say it out loud. But things ain't obvious here in Ottawa, apparently, right? Right. Common sense ain't so common here in Ottawa, because like, look what the government has done, right? The government has imposed the unconstitutional No More Pipelines law, Bill C-69, that the CTF successfully fought in the Supreme Court of Canada. Thank you to all our listeners out there. The government also imposed a discriminatory tanker ban on the West Coast. The government rejected the Northern Gateway pipeline. The government moved the regulatory goalposts on the Energy East pipeline as well. And, you know, since 2015, we've seen about $670 billion of, you know, canceled or stalled natural resource projects here in Canada. So like, what are we doing, folks? Like, before we let politicians in Ottawa try to take more money from Canadian consumers and businesses with tariffs, like, how about we just allow things to get built here in Canada? I don't know. I know that sounds crazy.
Gage, I gotta let you in here because I feel like you're in Saskatchewan and it's like, Saskatchewan's fine with all of these energy projects. We're fine. We approve all of this and we don't have a coast. Why are you yelling at me? I'm sorry, Gage. I'll let you in here.
No, that's exactly it, right? When you hear for the first time that we can't get the oil from east to west, you're sitting in Saskatchewan, you hear Alberta getting all grumpy about it. And it's like, in Saskatchewan, we have quite a bit of open space that could be perfect for a pipeline, I think. Not too expensive to get it through the Great Plains there. It could be really easy. And it's crazy to think about when you hear it from someone else's perspective. And it goes in the other things that Franco talked about, right? We go to the carbon tax. It costs the Canadian economy, not just Canadians, $12 billion last year, right? That's an easy way to improve competitiveness, just actually axe that thing, make it easier for people to buy things from other provinces rather than the U.S. Some places say that costs the economy $200 billion a year. It should always be easier to buy from other Canadians than other places, but it seems like that's difficult. And that's another thing that you hear when people say that the reason we trade with the U.S. so much, it's difficult to trade between other places. That's a ludicrous thing to say. It should be easier to buy things from Alberta than Montana, but sometimes it's not.
Hey, let me step in here with a question for you, Chris. What was that movie? I believe World War II, was it Dunkirk, where they're like, you know, the citizens got in their boats and actually brought the British home from Europe, right?
Yes.
Well, I remember
when
I was in Calgary, we back in the day, years ago, before I got shipped off to Mordor, I remember sitting around, I'm like, hey, are we gonna have to like Dunkirk some oil in the back of the pickup trucks to get the oil to the east coast of Canada? Like, what's going on here? You know what I mean? Like, why is it so hard to build a pipeline in Canada? Like, I'm laughing because I want to cry. Here's another one. Okay, here's another one before I forget. Talk about the easiest way to make Canada more competitive. Don't hike the capital gains tax, right? Like we talked about on the last episode of the podcast, where Canadians across Canada forced the government to back down on the capital gains tax increase. So the government is actually delaying the capital gains tax hike that was supposed to happen this year. They're delaying it to January 1 of 2026. Well, think about what delaying a capital gains tax hike for a year is actually doing. You might as well just put up a big sign flashing lights that say, hey, entrepreneurs, leave before next year. Like, what is the government doing? The capital gains tax hike will blow a $90 billion hole in Canada's economy. Just end it already.
But not, and for folks at home, $90 billion. Picture 90 hospitals. New ones with shiny glass doors and stuff. That's how much money that is. Yeah, you're right. It's like, just picture the air traffic controllers with like the lit batons. Like, this way, guys, everybody leave. This is how much time you have. I will point out, you're being a little bit too modest there, Franco, that it was the government's announcement. It was days after we threw down in Ottawa and said, guess what, folks? The Canadian Taxpayers Federation, we're challenging the CRA in court. Knock this off. Stop this capital gains tax increase. Because, of course, the CRA was imposing this on people. This is hard to believe, but I promise it's true. The CRA was imposing the capital gains tax hike on Canadians, even though the tax hike had not gone through Parliament. Wild stuff.
So, had it been introduced.
What? How is that even possible? What is it? And from Anchorman, like, I'm not even mad. That's impressive. How did you do that? Pretty wild. So at least it's a reprieve where they're kicking it down the road, where they're not paying it now. But you're right. This just gives much more runway for smart businesses to be like, yeah, we're not sticking around for this capital gains tax increase. And I just wanted to break it down for normal people. This is not just some, you know, monopoly man playing the stock market that is going to be spending more money on a capital gain. No, no, no. So, as was pointed out in a good video that I saw recently, a capital can be anything. Like, so my father-in-law is a heavy-duty mechanic, okay? He does a lot of investment in equipment, like heavy-duty drill press and parts washers, like stuff I don't even understand. Fabricators for metal. These are expensive things. That is capital. If you sell it, the government almost always considers that to be a capital gain. They will hit you with a capital gains tax. Same sort of thing, say you have an elderly relative that passes away and leaves you a property. Could just be like a simple cabin, okay? You sell that secondary property that you own as a second home or something, they're going to nail you with a capital gains tax. They were hiking that. It also was affecting physicians. And the way that they structured their retirement, physicians have been told apparently for generations that this is how you structure your finances because you're not going to get nailed with the increase. But here they were. And we had all sorts of doctors threatening to leave the country. So good to see that finally being delayed. Hopefully it will be gone forever. Did we want to get into crazy government waste?
Yeah, and I'll just start with my taxpayer pro tip, because my taxpayer pro tip, it's twofold. One, it goes to Global Affairs Canada, which might be the worst waste offender in the entire federal government, which is saying so, so much. And also to the government. Guess what, folks? Freezing spending, controlling spending, that's not enough anymore.
Nope.
Cut, 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 cut. Okay, so folks, you might have seen that in the U.S., they're finding massive wasteful spending through DOGE at the U.S. Foreign Aid Department, right? Essentially, the department that sends foreign aid around the world kind of mirrors Canada's Global Affairs Canada. Well, we have more than 1,000 pages of access to information requests on how Global Affairs Canada has been spending your money. And let me just read you some of the highlights.
Just
we haven't gone through the full records.
One sec. Warning for people. I'm not kidding. Don't like, if you've got kids in the room, the next stuff that Franco is about to say is gross. Go ahead, Franco.
And folks, just to give you more time here, I'm going to delay a bit. Don't get mad at me. I'm reading what the government spent your money on. So I'm not saying these jokes, okay? I am just the messenger of how the government wasted your money. And with that, here's some of the examples. The government spent $8,800 for a sex toy show in Hamburg, Germany, called Whose Jizz Is This? Yes, when I said jizz, I meant that kind of jizz. Whose Jizz Is This? Again, don't get mad at me. I am merely the messenger, friendly taxpayers. Now, this is how the government described this sex toy show that you paid for. Quote, the centerpiece of the show, and I'm looking down so you can tell I'm reading it. The centerpiece of the show was a large water fountain consisting of a number of double-ended sex toys spouting water from both their mouths and vaginas. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading.
So, folks,
you spent $8,800 for a sex toy show in Germany called Whose Jizz Is This? Yes, that jizz. Another one. We've talked about it before. $12,500 for senior citizens in countries like Taiwan, Australia, and Austria to speak about their sex lives in front of live audiences. This performance was called All the Sex I Ever Had. When my parents used to say, listen to your elders, I don't think this is what they meant. But that's an aside. The seniors were talking about their, quote, first time, best time, worst time, last time. Welcome to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's Canada, where the economy is so bad, we are now outsourcing old people's sex stories. Because again, these were not Canadian citizens.
Bill and Martha and Kitchener weren't good enough, eh?
No.
Yeah.
Should we talk about pirates, Chris? Should we talk about the pirates?
Yeah, like hit me with the lesbian pirate musical, Franco.
Yep. So your money through Global Affairs Canada spent $1,700 on a musical called Lesbian Pirates. Okay, so the musical tells, quote, untold true stories of the ruthless maverick and lesbian pirates who met while cross-dressing as male pirates, fell in love, slaughtered swaths of men, stole treasure, and escaped persecution of the law. Now, let me just read on a little bit more. The musical featured, quote, a cast of physically disabled performers to bring life to the sexy, violent, and turbulent world.
Just a second. I need to check on Gage. Gage, are you okay?
Earmuffs, Gage.
I'm doing all right. I think these descriptions are what I would more imagine from someone making a joke on Twitter rather than the actual facts that Franco are reading, but I'm hanging in here.
Okay,
good.
One sec. I just got a little intermission here. For folks who are getting upset or offended by the language or the tone, don't be fooled by this. Woke is a cloak for government waste. Okay? The government thinks that by, you know, cloaking this stuff in like woke things, so like, you know, let's add a rainbow to it, we won't criticize it because we'll be too scared. They're wrong. This is a terrible waste of money. If you want to go watch a lesbian pirate musical, go fill your peg legs. Okay? Just don't make taxpayers pay for it. Go ahead.
Woke is a cloak that'll make taxpayers go broke. I like it. Okay. $8,100 to organize DJ workshops in Turkey and Georgia for the LGBTQ community to, quote, bring more diversity into the world of DJing.
See?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. $7.2 million for a, quote, gender responsive systems approach to universal healthcare in the Philippines. Now, I know people are on wait lists in Canada. I know people actually very close to home who are struggling with that.
Yes.
Yet somehow the government has millions of dollars for this in the Philippines. That's nice, hey? It gets me mad.
Yeah,
13 grand for an Oscars party in Los Angeles. $8,000 for the Toronto-based band Shuffle Demons to play at a jazz festival in El Salvador. I mean, holy, right? $2,000 for a dance festival in Serbia. I'm going to end with this one because if I keep going on, I'm actually going to get upset here. $3,900 for a seminar at an arts conference in L.A. that featured a, quote, frank discussion on how to properly do a land acknowledgement. So, yeah, I mean, the more I read it, the more I actually just get kind of pissed off here.
Yeah, understandably so.
Like, okay. We got to cut spending. This is nuts. Open the books up and cut.
Yeah. Take a chainsaw for sure. And for folks who want to follow along at home, go to Global Affairs, dig through their spending. Heck, I'm just going to light this one on fire. Go to Canadian Heritage, dig through their spending too, because if the fountainhead of ridiculous government waste in the United States is coming from USAID or USAID, I don't know how they actually pronounce it. The fountainhead for government waste, my spidey sense says here in Canada, is twofold. It's at Global Affairs, which used to be called Foreign Affairs, okay? And it's at Canadian Heritage, which doles out money for things like the CBC and all these weird arts grants, okay? Again, if you're into art, weird or not, pay for it yourself. Find a corporate sponsor. Hold a bake sale. Nobody cares. Don't make Franco's mom pay for this crap, okay? This is the issue. And we here at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, we believe in highlighting waste like this so that it gets people interested and by staying happy warriors. That's why we hand out Teddy Waste Awards, the golden pig statues to bureaucrats and politicians that waste your money in spectacular fashion. But the reason we do so with humor is getting exactly to what's happening with Franco right now. Because if you don't use humor and you don't keep your chin up, you'll get so mad you'll be blackpilled. Don't take the black pill. Stay in the arena. Stay in the fight. Stay a happy warrior and hold these people to account. Gage, did you want to have any final thoughts here now that Franco has horrified us? Poor Gage.
Well, I think we can take it back.
Earmuffs, Gage.
Take it back slightly to the carbon tax for a bit and some other stuff and kind of highlight the overall thing. I think one of the most important things for taxpayers to take out of this that Chris was just talking about is that the fight against politicians who want to spend your money and raise your taxes is never over. Even if you think you're going to have the guy that you like in charge for a bit, there will always be politicians, international organizations, people on the outset saying, but actually, I think we should be hiking taxes on them again. It's the same way with Carney, right? He doesn't think that the carbon tax is bad because it makes life unaffordable. He thinks it's bad because it's a divisive perception problem. That's not the correct answer. And as long as there are politicians around, there's going to be politicians trying to hike your taxes and increase spending. And taxpayers should always be fighting against that, even if it looks like they're winning.
Amen. Well said. Any final words there, Franco?
Take me home.
So exactly to build on Gage's point and to close off the show, stay in the arena. Okay, even if your guy, let's say Pierre Poilievre, becomes prime minister, gets in, as he pointed out to Dr. Jordan Peterson, paraphrasing, he can't do this by himself, okay? Everything is on fire. Trust me. You check out any department that comes from Ottawa, it is just bedlam, okay? Everything is on fire. Everything is going over budget. It's a disaster, okay? We, as citizens, have got to stay in the fight. We must remain in the arena, in Roosevelt's words. The best way to do that, from the taxpayer's perspective, is to join the army. Join the tax fighter army, because we do all sorts of stuff. We do mass email campaigns. We do phone campaigns. We push politicians to make the right decision. We also encourage them, exactly to Gage's point, if they're being beset by global forces that are insisting on stupid things like a carbon tariff coming across your border. Okay, this is where these stupid ideas come from, and they hit Canada. So, and the next prime minister won't be able to do this by themselves. So head on over to our website, taxpayer.com. Find the petition that speaks to you, okay? If you want to scrap the carbon tax, if you want to defund the CBC and stop journalists from being paid by the government, if you want to stop the capital gains tax hike, all of that stuff, sign those petitions, and now you're part of that battalion. Okay, and the next time it's time to everybody push at once, you're going to be on that list and you're going to be on the front lines. Folks, thank you so much for listening and watching the podcast. Be sure to share this with at least one friend who feels the way you do. Until next time, keep fighting for taxpayers.